So, good morning, everyone. I am very happy to be in Prague again for the third year now. And having read the proceeding, I'm also very happy to see that the level of this conference is raising again. I think it's getting better every year. The two first issues, of course, are already very good, but this one is still better, I think. And I think the level is now level with the big conferences, such as the core tracks of XML conferences and XTech. And so that's very exciting. One of the things I like with this conference, despite the fact that it's one in such a beautiful city, is the fact that each year there is a new theme, and all the presentation belong to the same kind of subject. And I think it's very unique. I don't know any other conferences with this kind of theme. And if I had to choose a name, tagline for the theme chosen this year, I think I would call it Processing XML with Fun. It's really about finding new way to process to process your XML. So the goal of this first short introduction, I would like to, if people ask you what kind of tool you are using to process your XML, I would like you to be able to answer, I process my XML with Fun. Just a short introduction about myself. I am an XML and web expert. I am an XML Guild member. The XML Guild is a kind of gang of XML experts co-founded by Uche and by myself. And it includes people such as Mike, Jenny Tennyson, and a lot of very good people. I am also an author of a lot of different books. And during this introduction, I would like to address one of the main issues which is creating a lot of pushback against XML still now, maybe now even more than before. A lot of people consider that XML is too complex. And, well, this is not something new. If we go back to 2001, at XML 2001, there was a very good talk by James Clark, probably one of the talks I will, I think, always remember. And James Clark was trying to mention, to give a list of challenges for XML in the next years. He mentioned five different challenges. And these are challenges which are listed on this slide. Make progress, yep, keep XML simple, which is not obviously not something very simple. Don't neglect the foundation of XML. Avoid premature standardization. And the two other thread that and challenges that he saw for XML in the coming years were control the processing pipelines and improve XML processing models. And these two items, these two lines, are being addressed in this conference. And I want to insist on these two. The good thing is that, 2001 was now 6 years ago, and during these 6 years, people have been working hard to try to address these problems. And the good news is that the solutions for these two problems are now available. So, of course, XML can be considered complex, but there are now solutions to address the issues mentioned by James Clark. So, and in this conference and in this first introduction, we will insist on the way to define pipelines and also the way to provide simpler processing models. Again, most of the XML Prague presentation that you'll see this year are related to one of these two different topics. When I proposed this introduction, I wanted to classify all the presentations that you will be seeing in the next few days. Having read the proceeding, I think it's almost impossible. I have found things such as the presentation from Oleg, which really I don't know how to classify. So I will let people try to make a better classification if they want. And I will keep, stick on these two ones, pipelines and simpler processing models for XML. So XML pipelines, you will hear the next two presentations will be about XML pipelines, and there will be another one tomorrow. XML pipelines are just declarative description of sequences of actions. And why is this important? It's important, Norm will address that in the next presentation, but it's important because We are doing more and more complex things for XML, and we need a way to describe what we want to do on an XML document. In fact, if you come back to the problem mentioned by James Clark, the way to process XML documents is something which needs to be better better described, better documented. Even without wanting to go into the details of very complex pipelines, when you import things such as parsing an XML document, validating it, processing XML include, you run into all kinds of small problems because there is no real authoritative way to describe how you want this to process. For instance, do you want to process the schema before XInclude or after XInclude? We need something to describe what we want to do with XML. And that's what James Clark meant by the processing model of the processing model, yes, of XML. Okay, so about XML processing, I have said that there is a strong pushback of XML, and I think this strong pushback is developing itself, is growing. We could think that XML was, XML obviously is a big success, but I think the pushback against XML is growing again and again. And it's growing, not in this audience. I would expect that most of the people coming to XML Prague are convinced that XML is something which is useful and, just useful. But the pushback against XML is growing in the community of web developers. We see that, for instance, in what we call Web 2. Web 2 is kind of new generation of web application. There is a pushback against XML at the level of HTML. There is this debate between HTML and XHTML, which is now having place in the W3C. People are considering that XML is too complex as a document format. And there is also pushback at the level of the processing. And this is the debate, for instance, between JSON and XML. People saying that XML is too complex to process and that we need simpler things. Yeah. So it's important to, for this reason, even if you had no other reason, it's important to come out with simpler solution of processing XML. And the good news, again, is that these solutions are available. They are available now, and they are available for almost any programming language you can speak, as you can think of. So the message here is that you have no excuse to continue to use DOM or SACS, unless you like it, of course. There is nothing wrong with DOM and SACS. If you like to process with this API, you can do it. But if you don't, there are other solutions. And these different solutions are available for different languages. And of course, because different programming languages are, by nature, very different, there are different kinds of solutions. For a few programming languages, you have now native support for XML. By native support, I mean that XML fragments are recognized as first-class objects, and you can manipulate XML fragments like you would manipulate an array or an integer. Yeah. We'll see this in the next slide. For other languages, you have APIs which allows you to bind your XML into objects at compile time. And this is the case, this is very interesting, well, not only very interesting, but the only thing you can do for statically typed languages such as Java or C Sharp or C++. And for other languages, you have these two options. You can use this compile time binding, but you can also use runtime bindings. So native XML support, it's I think a very good idea. And the first language I think which came out with a real implementation for this is JavaScript with something called E4X. And there is another language which should enable this kind of thing very, very soon. And this language is C#. You will have a presentation later on about this. It's something called XLink. And in both cases, again, the idea is that XML is becoming so important that it's important, it's natural to have native support for XML in the language itself. That means that you're able, again, to access to your XML fragments and also to what's into your, within your XML fragments, using native constructs of the language itself. It means that you are integrating both worlds, in fact, and you are able, again, to access your XML without using any kind of API. And it provides you not only a read access, but a write access to the XML. You can also modify your XML using these language extensions. I am not aware of any other language with we implement this. There has been a proposal for Java, something and a proposal made by IBM, but I don't know its official status. Again, I think this is a great idea if you want to make XML processing simpler. The second class of utility of tool that you can use if you want to make your binding between XML and objects easier is to use what I've called a compile-time binding API. So one of the best-known examples for that, I think, is JexV, the API for Java. The idea is that to associate your XML with classes and objects, you define that at compile time. It's needed for Java or C Sharp or C++, again, because they are statically typed languages. It's not obvious. I don't even know if it's possible to create a Java class at runtime. And so the idea is that you take a schema, which is a static description of your XML documents, and you compile this schema into Java classes, and after that the binding becomes automatic. There are less static options of ways of doing the same thing. One of them is using an API which I have developed, which is called TreeBind, and the idea there is to use reflection. In that case, again, you need to have existing classes mapping the structure of your XML documents. But the mapping between the XML and the classes themselves can be done at runtime using reflection. But again, since you are not able to create classes at runtime, these classes need to exist before you run your program. And the last class of API that you can use if you want to do automatic binding between classes and XML is to use what I have called runtime bindings. And here the idea is that you are using a dynamically typed language such as Python, PHP, Perl, Ruby, of course, and JavaScript. And in these languages, you are able to create object structure at runtime, so they don't need to be predefined when you write your application. And that's extremely flexible and extremely well suited to processing XML, because when you receive an XML document, you can just read the XML instance. And then by analyzing this instance, you see if you can find existing classes mapping the same structure, you can reuse them. And if you don't find them, you can create your classes at runtime. I think very lightweight and very well adaptive to lightweight applications of that, the Web2 application. This runtime bindings library exists for most of the scripting language. I think they exist for all of them. They exist for PHP. Uche will present one of them for Python. You have the same kind of thing for Perl, for Ruby, for any scripting language, for JavaScript. So I will show you in a couple of minutes one for JavaScript. And, they are, again, very flexible and very easy to use. So some use cases. One of them is in Web2 application, to exchange objects between web servers and web client applications written in JavaScript. Another of them, which I had presented at XTech 2006, was to use XML technologies such as the XForms implementation from Orbion Forms. You can use it with a Java binding API to edit your Java object with XForms. And this opens a kind of very interesting application, I think, where you can really bridge the two different worlds, the world of XML and the world from Java object. You could also use one of these APIs to serialize your Java object in XML and format them in XSLT, for instance. Really, you have the you bring together the two different worlds. Just to give you a more concrete idea of the kind of thing you can do, this is an example taken from the book we've written about Web 2. It's called Web 2 Professional Programming. And this is the demo application which I have created for the first chapter of the book. It's a kind of typical Web 2 application. It's a mashup. And it's taking different kind of information from different sources and bringing all them together in a single page. In that case, I take information about Google. I consolidate information taken from Delicious, from Yahoo Financial News, from a Yahoo chart, and a Yahoo code there. And, well, because it's a mashup application, and also because in JavaScript you have something called the same origin policy, which means that if you are using a JavaScript from a website, this JavaScript can only access resources on the same website, for obvious security reasons, of course. In fact, the architecture is that the server queries Yahoo, for instance, to get the codes here, and the codes from the Yahoo service are delivered in a CSV, a comma separated value format. So it's taken on the server. Then the server converts them in XML, sends them in XML to the browser that you see here. The browser reads the XMLs, format the XML result in this window. Yeah. So the classical way to do so, and a lot of people would complain about that, would be to use the DOM to first to serialize the XML server side. So the PHP, we would use the DOM to serialize an XML document with these codes. Then client side, the client will use JavaScript and use the DOM again to get the different values from the JavaScript and format them on screen. And people often complain that this is complex and that for this kind of thing, it's much better to use JSON. If you are using the kind of library which I have described, you have something which can be written like this. So this is a PHP which is producing the XML documents. So it's basically getting the CSV. No, sorry, this was a JavaScript. This is a PHP. Let's start by what's happening server-side. So this PHP is getting results using CSV. It's parsing the result using regular expression then. Then it's creating an object, and it's creating an object using a binding API called SimpleXML. It's new in PHP 5. So basically, it's creating an object from an empty XML document, and it's populating the object using the standard PHP notation to access object properties. So in the symbol is just XML symbol, and so on. So this is the kind of PHP. Again, it's not using DOM any longer. And it's using the standard way of accessing objects in PHP to populate the objects. And to transform this in XML, it's as simple as calling the asXML method. So this is doing the magic of creating XML documents from a PHP object. So again, I think this is as simple as what I could have done if I was using JSON. And now if you look client-side, I am not using A4X for the simple reason that A4X is not supported yet by Internet Explorer. I don't know when it will be. Maybe I think there is a speaker from Microsoft. Maybe he can answer this question. But there are libraries available who can do JavaScript data binding. And I am using one of them here. It's called XO3. So I am parsing, this is a callback of the AJAX request. So this is the JavaScript method which is called when I receive the XML answer from the server. So the XML that you've seen here created by PHP, when it's received by the browser, is processed by this callback method. So basically what I am doing there, I am creating a tree, a JavaScript tree out of this XML. It's you can see this as the reverse operation that as the as XML that I was calling in PHP. So it's creating a JavaScript object out of the XML. So what it means is that we are transferring a PHP object into JavaScript straight away without seeing the XML. It's done in XML. If you look at the traces on the network, you will see XML, but you don't see any XML specific kind of statement in this code. And then, well, now the I have a JavaScript object, exactly if, like if I had received a JSON document. And then the way to populate the different the HTML document, well, you can do as you want to do it. I have created a simple method called setValue, which is taking the HTML ID of the element where I want to set the value, and to access to the tree created out of the XML, it's this very simple JavaScript notation. So it's tree dot quote, meaning that I am accessing to the through the quote object under the tree object, and then the value is the property change. So it's, again, it's normal JavaScript object that I am manipulating here. Okay, so this is the kind of thing that you can do using these APIs. Again, it will be, in the case of client programming, browser client programming, it will become more, still more simple using A4X, but already I think that it's as simple as to use XML as it is to use other technologies such as JSON. The good thing, of course, is that because I have XML now, if I want to use XML-specific tool, I am able to do it. If I want to validate the messages between the clients and the server, I can use any XML schema language, such as AWS XML schema, but also Relaxing or Schematron. Schematron is very easy to use client-side because it's based on XSLT, and the major browser do have good support of XSLT. And if I want to change the architecture of my application, and I am showing this also in this first chapter of this book, if I want, for instance, if I decide that I want to the XSLT client side to format the XML that I receive from the server, because it's XML, I can do it very easily. It would be much more difficult if it was anything else than XML. So to conclude, XML processing doesn't have to be done hard. We have now the great technology to process XML with fun, and I hope you will enjoy the rest of the conference. If you have questions or suggestions, you're welcome. I think we have 3 or 4 minutes left, but you're also welcome to ask them face to face during the conference or by email at vdv@diomedia.com. Thank you.